Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude this study taught by Brother John Albaugh titled The Comfort of God's Tears. This is part two of two.
And sin and faith in Christ brings us into God's favor. Turn away from self and trust totally in Him. Okay, Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping. Okay, why does God weep? There are three times in Scripture that God weeps. And of course, it's our lust nature. We have lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. You meet anybody else on this planet, any unsaved person, what's the three things they operate out of? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. The one guy that I tried giving the track to when he drove off, men love darkness rather than light. What can I deduct about this guy using the Scripture? Well, how about that? Pride of life, lust of eyes, lust of flesh. He doesn't want to come to the light. He's got a problem in one of those three areas or all three of the areas. He's done something dastardly and dark. When I was passing out tracts at the reunion last night, what type of spirits was I coming in across? Lust of the eyes, pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. This one guy was with one of my classmates. And I said, well, how long have you known her? 17 years. I said, well, when are you going to get married? Oh, we've talked about it. Do I have any guesses why they may not come to the Lord? Fascinating. It just, but I pray for them. They're on the list. There are three times that God cries. Let's take a look at Jeremiah 13:17. Jeremiah 13:17. Verse 17, but if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore, and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. This deals with the time of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was there. Read all the way through. Jeremiah, you see God, he starts naming all their sins, and they are horrendous. And if you check the sins in Jeremiah's time, it matches Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Fascinating. And God's saying, I'm weeping over you guys in secret places. Because of your pride, you won't repent. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And nobody in Jeremiah's time wanted to humble themselves and come back to the Lord. And the Lord said, if you just come to me right now, there will not be any judgment. We'll take care of that. But they did not come to him. And so he had to bring judgment. And what did he bring? He went ahead and brought Babylon. And I think the date was like around 597 approximately. But first time I wanted to share with you that God cries. Is pride. First time he cries is over pride. When I was studying the book of Exodus. No, it might have been Deuteronomy 8. But I saw where God had concluded all of Israel under pride. And that's why he had them, the manna bread. They had to get on their knees to get the manna bread, a form of humility. And he was testing them and trying them out. But pride is the big thing that God cries for. And I would tell you, 8 billion people on this planet, all pride. Every single one of them. And we need to pray for God to break down that pride so they can come into a place where they can be humbled. And so it's okay. If you know someone who's very proud, you pray and ask God to bring something in their life that'll humble them. And when they're humbled at that point, that's when you bring the gospel into them. You can't bring it in where they're proud, so you can pray for a disaster to hit them. And just trust the Lord in that. See how God works. Because then you have an opening. It's only a small opening at that point to come into their life and to help them to see their need for the Lord. All right, the next time he cries is John 11:35. That's connected with the lust of the eyes. It's unbelief. Let's go ahead and turn to John chapter 11. This is, of course, the shortest verse with the least amount of letters. The other short verse is rejoice evermore. In John chapter 11, let's start with verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out and followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Now take a look here. They saw Christ do the miracles of healing people while they were alive. They did not believe that he could raise the brother from the dead, even though he said, I am the resurrection. I've got, I am the resurrection. I can raise him again. They did not believe that. Now, it's okay as far as saying if Jesus wept for, you know, as far as for Lazarus, that's fine. But keep in mind, he's God. He's going to resurrect him here in a few minutes. He didn't have to weep. It's time to raise him from the dead. He's going to raise him up. He was weeping over the fact that Mary, Martha, and all the other people did not believe that he could raise him from the dead. Unbelief, guys, you already know this in your own life. There's a little phrase that goes on in the back of our mind, and we play it over and over. Seeing is believing. All right? And we're not to walk by sight. In Romans, we're supposed to walk by faith. And how do we walk by faith? We get in the book, and we call upon God, and he shows us in the book what he's going to do. We get faith from him. And there are so many examples in Christian books from 1900 going back, showing you how they got into the book, trusted God, and watched God do something supernatural. Always like that story in Tennessee, way back before they had refrigerators. This one guy had a very sore throat. They called in the doctor, and the doctor said, There's not a lot I can do for him. He's going to suffocate. You need some form of ice to go around his neck here to get the swelling down. And the nearest place for getting ice, I think, was 20 miles, you know, some really far off place. There wasn't even time to go get the ice to bring it back. And so this Christian lady prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, we need some ice and we need it right now. Thunderstorm comes in and here comes some hail. Got all the buckets of ice they needed to get the swelling down. Guys, that's the type of God that we serve. That is supernatural, and that's written in the history books way in the past. John Wesley, this cracks me up. He was preaching in the pulpit just like this, and he got very sick while he was preaching, and some guys weighed up and fell down to the floor. And he cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, I know you want me to finish the sermon. I can't do it right now. I'm sick. I need your help right now. And within a minute, it cleared up immediately. He got back up, finished the sermon. And that's written in as far as the records. There's all sorts of neat stories like that in the Christian past where people learn how to gain faith from other people. So the other thing that God weeps over is unbelief. And how many problems you and I go through and we say, well, God can't do anything. You know, I can't do anything. I've got some major problems coming up. I can't lift a finger, not a single finger. So I'm praying to the Lord. I'm saying, Lord, I need to see a supernatural hand of God come work right now because I don't have plan A, B, C, D. I don't have nothing. I've got nothing going on. So the second time that he cries is unbelief. And then there's a third time that God cries. Luke 19:41. Let's take a look at Luke 19:41. Luke 19:41. Talking about Christ. Yeah, let's go with verse 40. And answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should behold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave thee in one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Here he's talking about exactly 40 years later from this time frame, Jerusalem was going to be leveled out, 70 A.D., he wept over Jerusalem. He said, I've got the peace that belongs to you. I've got the book. I've got all the answers for every problem you have. And you guys have rejected me. And because you've rejected me, within 40 years, everything is going to be leveled. That's the last time that he cries. Now, I will share this with you. If you find any other time frames that God cries, it'll match one of these three items right here. I think in Isaiah 53, Christ was despised, a man of sorrows, and rejected. You know, I subtitled this, Why America Will Not See Revival. And I'll share this with you. 1885 is when England rejected the Word of God. They replaced the Authorized King James with the Revised Version. They rejected. If this printed word is Jesus Christ, they rejected him in 1885. And look what's happened in their country in the last 100 years. Take a peek at it. America rejected Christ in 1901 with the American Standard Version. Take a look what's happened in America for the last 100 years because America has rejected Christ. They have all these phony Bibles floating around everywhere. They've rejected them. Same group is now praying for revival. What's God going to revive? He can't. Because those books are based on partly Holy Spirit and partly error of man. How can any of those Christians discern which one is which? You and I are blessed this morning. We can pick up this book and we don't have any doubt on any single word in this book. We know that every book on here, every single word is based on the solid rock. We can't move off the solid rock. It's here. Now, if you and I decide to change the book, then we'll slip like anybody else. But we know the Word of God right here. It's solid. We can have a revival here. And maybe we can hopefully share it with other people. This is what we need to pray for, is the revival here, for us to carry out the responsibilities that God's called us to. All right. Why no revival? And this is what I just added myself. Jesus despised rejected men. The Holy Ghost was rejected in Matthew 12, 25 to 32. The Word of God was rejected in Matthew 15, 1 through 20. Israel rejects the Word in April of 30 AD. That's when they had Christ crucified. England, 1885. And there's the United States, 1901. That's why no revival. We've rejected the Word of God. Isaiah says they have rejected the Word of God, and what light is in them? There is no light. They're in darkness. All they have is weeping. Weeping may endure for a night. All they have is the anger. They can't have it. Psalm 35, weeping may endure for a night. So, this will go pretty quick here. So how long is God's night? God's night is a 7,000-year period. Notice in Genesis 1:2, and it goes to Revelation 22:5. God's night started with darkness. God created darkness before he created the light. Look at Isaiah 45:7. God says, I create darkness. So what in the world is darkness doing in verse 2? Something happened there. Something happened there. So if you go to Genesis 1:1, guys, there's light everywhere. There are no shadows. It's all light. What happened in verse 2? Something happened in verse 2 that created the darkness. When you go to Revelation 22:5, it says the sun, the moon, all the stuff that creates light is gone. God says, my light is now here forever. My light is going to be shining. No darkness, guys. The darkness is now gone. The weeping is over. We shared this verse with you, power of darkness. That is what Satan is called. That was his time to have Christ crucified. It was called his power of darkness. So darkness normally will be always connected with some form of Satan or satanic work. Men love darkness rather than light. Night is named in Genesis 1:5. That's when the darkness is called night. And that's fascinating. God's night ends in Revelation 22:5. And then, of course, it says light reigns forever. I thought you'd get a kick out of it. But joy cometh in the morning. Okay. I don't know if you've ever done this, but it's fun. And it's got to put a joy on your heart. Okay. Joy, the happiness comes where? It comes in the morning. Let's take a look. So who is comforted with joy? Because the title is The Comfort of God's Tears. First of all, Christ is comforted on the cross. If you look at Hebrews 12:2, it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. When you're going through a hard time, there's some form of joy that's in darkness. There's some joy coming up. What was the joy that Christ was looking forward to? You and me getting saved? He was paying for all our sins. What's the comfort for his tears? You and me getting saved. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Christ's saints. The Holy Spirit is within us. Galatians 5:22. Love, joy. The Holy Spirit of joy is in every single one of us. That's a comfort. And God is comforted when sinners are led to Christ. Luke 15:10-22 says, when one sinner repents. Here's the darkness, here's the light. When one sinner repents, there's what? Joy in the presence of God. God is now comforted. That is the incredible. And when you learn to grasp a hold of what that joy is, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And of course, the three pictures, that was the cross, that's our fellowship with him, and us being with him. And it says, in the morning, Christ's resurrection. When is his resurrection? In the morning. He's not resurrecting at night. Anger endures for a moment. Weeping endures for the night. His resurrection is when? In the morning. Notice the connection. Joy comes when? In the morning. Our restored fellowship with him. Lamentations 3:22-23. His mercies are renewed when? Every morning. It doesn't say His mercies are renewed at nighttime, although for us it could be, because in Christ we're in light all the time. But His mercies are renewed when? Every morning. We get a brand new start every day. In Christ's return, 2 Peter 1:19, it talks about the day star are rising in the heart. And when's the day star coming? How about that? In the morning. He's coming in the morning watch. And there's a really neat Bible study on that. He's coming in the morning. Why? He's going to knock out the devil, knock out the darkness, and set up His millennial reign. How beautiful is that? Joy. The devil is gone. We won't have to worry about the Republicans and Democrats running the, whatchamacallit. We won't have to worry about the guy in North Korea. He'll be crunched, whatever it is. Joy comes in the morning. Christ will be ruling and reigning. Here's our conclusion. God collects our tears in a bottle and puts them into His book. Psalm 56:8. If you'd like to take a look at that real quick, and then we're going to finish up your psalm. That's a great verse. Again, dealing with tears. 56, verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? That is a very powerful verse. Wandering. We wander all the time. We keep moving out of God's path, and He keeps trying to reconcile us. And when He reconciles us, there's repentance and there's tears. And the psalmist says in here, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Here's the word of God. Our tears should flow from this book, just like His tears flow. Is your bottle empty? Do your tears match His in His book? When does God cry? He looks out all planet today. He's looking at, He's seeing everybody with pride. He's seeing everybody with unbelief. He's seeing everybody with rejection. That's the heart of God. He cries and He weeps. So when does He not weep? When the other people are led to Christ for salvation. Now, the other part on joy, the faithful will hear. If we are faithful, following the Lord and carrying out the faith that He gives us out of the book, enter thou into what? The joy. The joy. Enter thou into the joy. Joy comes when? In the morning. When's that going to be? Our darkness is all over with at that point. I wouldn't hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I wouldn't hear Him say, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I don't want Him to say, John, good night, you're over here, pal. Way over here. I'll let you in, but that's all the further you're going. You know, that's not what I want. And of course, all the tears will be wiped away after the great white throne judgment. The great white throne is something we don't teach and preach enough. But we're going to see every single person ever made. I put on there the definition for life. And what is the definition for life? Our spiritual existence that comes from God. Not a single person on this planet will escape the great white throne. Not a single one. We'll see them all. We'll see all the perfect murders that were committed. We'll see all the perfect thefts that are committed. We'll see all those people that rejected the Lord. We'll see every single one of them. And we're not going to be smiling saying, yeah, you deserve hell. No, we're going to be weeping. We are going to be weeping. We're going to be crying. I'm not looking forward to that day. Now's our time to be about the Father's business. Lost loved ones will be cast into the lake of fire. We need to have an earnest about God's Spirit and asking God through His book, what are your spiritual weapons that we can use to help people come to know the Lord? We will cry for not being faithful to the gospel. That's a matter of fact. We will cry. Here's our promise from the Lord. And this just cracks me up. He that goeth forth and weepeth. Why do we weep? They're in pride, they're in unbelief, and they're rejecting. We now have the same heart because we're in the book and we have now the heart of God. We cry with the Lord. We go forth weeping. Doing what? Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bearing precious seed. Guy, here's the precious seed right here. Do we know enough about the book to want to share it with people? So doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What a promise. Again, you have the darkness, you have the light. You have the anger, you have the weeping. You have the favor, the grace of God, and then you have the joy. Enter thou into the joy. That's, what a book. What a book. There's just a ton of great Bible studies with the same pattern, over and over and over. You study Noah. How about God's angry with the wicked? What happens? Noah finds grace. Same pattern. David, he goes ahead and he commits adultery and murder. So you have Psalm 51. You have darkness. You have the anger. You have the weeping. Now what do you have? The favor of God, because there's repentance. What a beautiful... This format fits so many things in Scripture. It's incredible. Well, we'll go ahead and close at this point and have a word of prayer. I pray that the Lord ministered to you with this. I pray that he opened up your heart. I hope that you've been encouraged. And good night. If you're like me at all, calloused heart, not weeping, not caring, trying to, the Lord's got to do a far greater work in our hearts and in our midst for us to really see something really good happen. And I appreciate all of you. Anything I can do to help you out, I'd be glad to. And what a book. We need to let it get a hold of our hearts and change us so that we can go around helping other people be changed too. And I tried the best I could. That's all the further we're going. And you've got the notes. I hope you have fun with them. And let's trust the Lord. And let's weep together. Let's weep together. And when the Lord lets us weep together, we'll see some great things happen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, just ask your tender mercies upon us. And you know our frames are but dust. Without you, we can do nothing. And Lord, our hearts are prone to wonder. And Lord, there are many times we are proud. And there are times when we just live in unbelief. And there are many times we just reject your word. And we ask your forgiveness for that this morning. And we pray, Lord, you work a great work in our midst. And help us to be like Christ. Let us have a weeping heart like he had. But Lord, let us have the rejoicing heart. There's still plenty of people out there that need to hear the word of God yet before you return. Be merciful to us and open up the path for us to follow you. And grant us the light we need and the encouragement from your word. In Christ's name we pray and for your glory. Amen.
It's my favorite season of the year, football season. And we want to remind you that if you miss Bible Believers Fellowship Saturdays at noon because of a football game, you can also tune in Sunday nights at 9:30 p.m. So be sure to tune in all season long at bbfohio.com, bbfohioradio.com, and right here on 91.5 Freedom FM.
I am Pastor Danny Parisa. Thank you for America. And of course, thank you for Mike Brown and Pastor Greg Miller. And thank you for your support as well as the things that you have given us. Thank you. Yeah.